Jesus knows Jerusalem. Back in chapter 2, he cleansed the temple. This is a big area. Herod had made walls around the hill of Zion, of the temple. He had made retaining walls. He made it flat, and it's flat like several football fields flat. Colonnade built around it. It's quite a place to gather. But over at the north, from the northeast side, there's a gate where the sheep go in for sacrifice. And not far from that gate is even now the ruins of the Pool of Bethesda. You can see them now. You know where it was. You know how far it was from the sheep gate. And you know that the men and women who were lying there probably were really glad when the wind was not out of the northwest. Probably pretty glad. This is an interesting place that Jesus goes. I'm not sure that it's quite soaks in on us that this man has been an invalid for longer than Jesus has been alive. And that the Pool of Bethesda has been this gathering place for the invalid, for the broken, for the lame, the whatever kind of people needed to be put someplace during the day so the rest of their family could go to work. This pool, this adult daycare kind of a pool is here, and perhaps Jesus has been watching this gathering of folks since the earliest days that he can remember coming to the temple as a child. Perhaps when he was 12, he was already seeing this scene, and perhaps had even noticed, if he had noticed, this man who had already been there 20 years by the time Jesus was 12. And this is one of those places that you know. This is one of those places like the VFW hall or sometimes a McDonald's in the morning or like an adult daycare that some of us know very well. I was chairman of the board of the Abilene adult daycare in Abilene for a while. And I would visit there and I knew how it would look. That basically you would see the same faces and you would see the same faces in the same places. And everybody had their spot. And not only did you have your spot, but you had your stories. I had this group of guys that met at McDonald's, and they would meet at pretty much the same table every time, and they would order the same thing every time, and they would tell the same stories every time. And they had this kind of friends, a commitment that I will be interested in your story that I've heard before if you will be interested in my story that you've heard before. And when I tell you the joke, you already know, you'll laugh, and I'll laugh at the joke. It was a civilized parking area, a place that people knew, a place where you knew your spot, and you knew your folks, and you knew your place, and you knew your story. And even though there was this thought, this myth, this saying that sometimes the water was troubled, and if you could get in there while it was bubbly, perhaps you could be healed, I guess probably the population around the Pool of Bethesda was fairly stable. And so in this stable, peaceful, ordered world of the handicapped and invalid and parked, into this world Jesus comes. He comes knowing where they are and the question he could ask. In this world that is formed because of your lack of capacity, in this world that is formed by your absence of ability, in this world that is formed because of the happenstance of your birth or the accident of your work, maybe like Mark, like you were talking about, maybe something got really away. Here in this world that's been established by such things, would you want to leave it? Do you want to get well? Would you want to leave it? See, there are miracles that Jesus performs that put people right back where they were. Jairus' daughter, she's sick. Jairus' daughter, she's sick. She's been playing in the yard. She's got her little friends. She's got her, not Barbie, but perhaps Hadassah doll with her maybe, I don't know what the guy's name would be. Probably wouldn't be Xerxes. Maybe it would be Boaz. They would kind of cross the stories up, but maybe Ruth and Boaz. Okay, Ruth and Boaz. We got a story now. But that she has been sick and now she dies. And when Jesus raises her to life, she goes back to her life. She goes back to being Jairus' daughter. She goes back to her life. Lazarus, he's sick. He's sick for a while. Jesus said, we're going to get to Lazarus and we'll do Lazarus. But a little bit of Lazarus today won't hurt. I'll forget, you'll forget. It'll be fine. But Lazarus is dead. And when Lazarus is brought back to life, Lazarus goes back to being Lazarus. Lazarus goes back to being the guy with the two sisters who probably gets to sit at the head of the table and is well known in Bethany. It is a return to stability. It's return to the status quo. It's return to the same place. The same place. And we know what it's like to go back to the same place. We're not surprised in John 21 that when Jesus goes to find the disciples, some of the fishermen, they're back fishing. They've just gone back to the status quo. They've gone back to where they were. But there are other healings. There are other healings where Jesus is going to heal people into a world they do not know. Heal them into a world for which they are not prepared, and they're going to change everything about them. In Mark chapter 5, the Gerizim demoniac, he's been living among the tombs. We don't know when he was possessed, but he was possessed long enough ago that he no longer lives in the house. He no longer lives in the village. Now, by whatever pressures a community can bring to bear, he's now living among the tombs, and Jesus goes there, and he casts out his demon. Now he is clothed and in his right mind, and he ask Jesus, can I go with you? Because wherever he goes, it's going to be all brand new. Bartimaeus is the blind man. And then when he's healed, he turns and he follows Jesus. He doesn't go back home. And story after story are stories of transition and change. Where if Jesus does something in your life, you cannot go back to where you were. Because it would just be odd, wouldn't it? If the Gerizim demoniac the next day goes back to the tombs, what's he doing there? Well, he's fine, but he lives there. That Bartimaeus goes with full eyes working and he tries begging. You know, I can see you, but would you still give me a buck? Probably not going to go well. The lepers who were healed continue to go around in rags and around the periphery of society, acting as if they're unclean. It wouldn't be right for the next morning. Do you want to get well for this man to walk in and bring his folding chair and his cooler of Dr. Pepper and his sandwiches? And so I just thought I'd continue to spend the days here. I think I'll go for 40 years. Got 38 going. I'll just act paralyzed. Because for the life of me, I don't know what to do. Well. And so it could have been that the man would have said, please don't heal me. Please, don't heal me. I know this world. I know these people. I know this place. The people who are accustomed to getting up early and getting me here in the morning, I know them. And I know what happens in the evening when I go home. I know this. Please do not change my world. Please, no. Please, no. Jesus, what do you What do you want? Do you want to get well? And then the man acts like, well, yes, I do. I just can't get over to the water. So, yes, I prefer getting well. I just can't get myself well. But what if you don't have to go to the water to wait for an angel? What if the Son of God will come to you? What if you're not having to help yourself to get well, but what if the Son of God will come to you? Because that's what happens this day. Not an angel, not a caretaker, not a doctor, not an orthopod. This is the Son of God of heaven is standing and says, why don't you try something? Why don't you try taking that mat and get up and walk and take it home? And the man, in something of an act of faith, I guess, begins to scurry around there in his spot and finds that suddenly he has capacity to do something that he couldn't do before. Suddenly he has range of motion that he didn't have before. Suddenly he has muscle tone that he didn't have before. Suddenly this man, who is a crumpled mass of humanity, is rising. Suddenly he's rising, not from the dead, but almost from the dead. Rising from this paralyzed life, he's rising. And he rises and he stands. He stands. He stands where he has never stood. And he bends like he has never bent, and he rolls up a mat that someone had unrolled for him. And he walks away. It's stunning. And now the Pharisees are grumpy because they found out that God doesn't keep the Sabbath. And that's what Jesus says. You're worried about me doing this on the Sabbath day? My Father's working. It's the Sabbath. My Father's working and I'm working. On the seventh day God rested, that's good. That's Genesis. That's fine. I want you to know God's back on the job. If it's the Sabbath and I'm working, God's working, God's back on the job. God is at work and I'm at work. And this changes everything. And he goes and he talks to the man. And you love it. See, you're well again. Stop sinning. Leave your life of sin. Something worse than being paralyzed can happen to you. If I hear that story, and I can climb down inside that story. But there's another story in John 5. Verse 24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I'm telling you, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to judge, because He is the Son of Man. Now in the next verses, 28 and following, he's going to talk about resurrection at the end of time. He's going to talk about that. But in this little spot, he's talking about resurrection right now. And it's in the context of the story we've just heard. He's saying, I'm telling you the time is now when the voice of the Son of God will speak to those who are dead, and the dead will hear, and those who hear will receive eternal life. It's a little bit different picture than the Pool of Bethesda, where those with various physical ailments are gathered around. This is a picture of a world littered with those who are the living dead. Dead in sins of all kinds of pride and gluttony and sexual excess and aggression and hard-heartedness. And you can work your way through the seven deadly sins, and we've got more than that. And all of that is a landscape into which Jesus is now walking. The time is coming and now has come. Jesus is there now. He is with the dead now. He is talking to them at this very moment. He is speaking to the dead. The dead Pharisees and the dead Sadducees and the dead Zealots and the dead ordinary folks and the dead Samaritans and the dead Gentiles. And He's speaking to us today as we would see ourselves as the dead of this world. And He's speaking to all of those around us who are still dead in this world. And Jesus comes with a word that says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? But I know this place. I know this sin. I know what is killing me. I know what has brought me to this place. I know the friends that I have in this death place. I know the function I have in this death place. I know my story in this death place. I am comfortable in this place of death and crippling and... Jesus says, would you want to get well? Would you want to feel a kind of life in you that you've never felt before? Would you want to feel a kind of strength in you you've never felt before? Would you like to move from being dead and dying in sin and darkness and ignorance and loss? Would you like to feel yourself rising as the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the blood of God? Would you like to feel yourself rising to life? Would you like to feel that? Would you choose that? And when you rise from the dead, you don't go back and live in the tombs. You don't go back and live at the Pool of Bethesda among those who are crippled and dying. You go on to your life. You move on. Would you do that? And those who hear will rise to eternal life. I want you to know this is our story. This is our story. That those of us who are in this place, who have heard the voice of Jesus Christ and have heard the gospel news and have received the gospel news with joy and have allowed ourselves to be reborn in Christ, we have been dead and now we are alive. And it's a miracle greater than Bethesda. And it is a walking more profound than the walking of the paralytic. And it is a walk that takes us to a different place. And I hope today that you feel that you have been brought to life in Christ so that we could caravan together, so that we could walk together, so that we could make progress together toward a new and holy place. That we be the people who do the good, who see the good, who act on behalf of God in the world, who are the risen Christ in the world. That we have heard the voice. And it said, do you want to get well? Do you want to live? And our answer is yes. Even if it takes us to a place we've never, ever been. At the end of John 5, Jesus says, you should listen to me. I'm my own witness. And John was my witness. And my work is my witness. And the Scripture is my witness. And Moses is my witness. Can't you hear? He says, can't you hear? I hope today that we can hear the voice of Jesus. Do you want to get well? You want to live? Yes. Let's stand together.